She was driving last Friday on her way to Cincinnati on a snow-white Christmas Eve. Somebody knows where this is going, don't you already? Going home to see her mama and her daddy with the baby in the back seat. 50 miles to go, and she was running low on faith and gasoline. It'd been a long, hard year. She had a lot on her mind, and she didn't pay attention. She was going way too fast. And before she knew it, she was spinning on a thin of black sheet of glass. She saw both their lives flash before her eyes. She didn't even have time to cry. She was so scared. She threw up her hands up in the air. Jesus,
take the wheel.
Take the wheel. Jesus, take the wheel. Any country fans in the room today? You recognize that. And if you're not a country fan, I'm not trying to convert you. Don't worry. But you know what that song says to me, it really bears out a truth. And that is, as we're going through life, we find those places when suddenly life is out of control. And the instinctual thing that God has built inside of us, the initial response that we have in those moments is, I need help. And if we're halfway smart, the cry of our heart is, God help me. Jesus, take the wheel. How many of you have been in those places in your life when all of a sudden, in just a moment, life went sideways and the first thing you did was, God, I need your help. Maybe you were having a car accident and all of a sudden, it's, God help me. Something else was going on. God help me. You heard this bad news. God help me. It becomes the cry of our heart, the need of our life is we recognize, God, I need your help. I imagine there are some atheists who've prayed in some of those moments. There's some people who said, I don't even believe in God. But in those moments of crisis in their life, they were willing to say, but God, if you are real, this would be a good time for you to show up and help me out. Yeah, we've got people in the room saying, been there and done that. And so it's just a thing that we need to do. I was, you know, you see these polls. It's really bad. America's in trouble, folks. When you start looking at how many people are attending church faithfully, regularly on a Sunday morning, the numbers is somewhere. We used to say 20%, and then we said it was 18, and then we said 17, and now we're saying like maybe 15 or 12. It's just crazy. But those same pollsters will tell us that 50% of the United States population considers that they pray or some type of meditation or some type of seeking a higher power, whatever they call it, that they're looking to God for help on a daily basis. Half the people saying, hey, I'm not living like it, I'm not acting like it, but somewhere down deep inside, I recognize that I need help beyond my own abilities. And so over the centuries, the prayers have come from the saints and the scoundrels, from the sinners and the skeptics and the believers, from the meek and from the mighty, people of all creeds and ideologies, that there is. There is someone, there is a God that is greater than us, and we need his help. So why pray? And that's the message I want to talk to you about this morning, and over the next couple of weeks, we're just going to look at this subject of prayer. And But I really want to start with the why question. Now, a lot of times we want to come to the how question, and I think that there's time for that, and we'll take time for that, but for a lot of people, it's important just to begin to establish the why pray. And it may seem so obvious because prayer works. But if it is that obvious, then here's my question. Then why don't more people pray? And why don't they pray more fervently? And why don't we turn up the intensity if we really believe that prayer works? So I want to answer the question why pray this morning using an acrostic with the word pray. And the P stands for power, the R for relationship, the A is answers, and Y is you. So first of all, let's talk about the power. Why should we pray? Power. We just got finished singing this song. There's power in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, there's a power that is released when we look to God in all of our circumstances and our situations, and we say, I need help. And we look to Jesus, there is a power that is released in His name. We were last Sunday talking about Pentecost Sunday and the fact that Jesus said to His disciples, and He's saying to us, be endued with power. Remain in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from the Holy Spirit. And we know that the Holy Spirit does a lot of things in our life to empower us, but one of those things is He helps us to pray. The Bible says that there are times when we don't know how to pray as we ought. Have you ever been in that situation where you just didn't know how to pray? It's like, I know I need to pray, but I don't even know what to pray. I don't know if I should ask for this or ask for that. I don't even know how to pray. And the Bible says that in those moments in our lives, we have the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us, who is an intercessor on our behalf, who's saying, hey, I will pray through you. And here's the way the Bible puts it, with groanings that cannot be uttered. And like with this deep, from the deep inside, words that we can't even speak, but the Holy Spirit knows how to speak those words through us, in us. And He, being perfectly aligned with the Heavenly Father, is praying perfectly according to the will of God. And when that happens, there is a power that is released in our situation that you're not going to get any other way. In Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. I want you to know that God wants you strong. God wants you tapping in to His mighty power. And the access to that is through prayer, as we're going to see. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Anybody, the devil's been scheming against you lately? For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You got to get that, because it's so key to our prayer life, is because if we're not careful, we'll focus our prayer on, Lord, would you get that person? Would you get that person? Because that person's causing me trouble and that. No, it's not about the flesh and the blood, okay? It's about those spiritual principalities, those demonic forces of evil that are working against us. And oh yeah, sometimes they'll work through other people, but sometimes you're the other people. Sometimes people have been praying, Lord, get them, help them, because they're not doing right. They're causing trouble. But what we need to do is get our eyes off of the flesh and blood and recognize that it's the spiritual powers of darkness that are coming against us. That's the misery that we're going through. That's where the bondage is coming from. That's where the unhappiness is coming from. That's where the discontent is coming from. It's the enemy that is coming against us. And so we need to be able to stand against him and overcome. And here's how we do it. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray. And pray. And pray. Here's how you pray. And pray in the Spirit. We already talked about that, how the Holy Spirit able to pray with us, through us, help us out. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. That's when you pray. On all occasions, whether things are going good or whether they're not going good, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying. He's not letting this bone, he's not let go of this bone. He's hanging on to it. He's driving this point home. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions, be alert, and always keep on praying for all the saints. And then he throws this one in verse 19. He says, and pray also for me. In other words, if you don't need to pray for yourself, hey, I'll give you something to practice. Practice by praying for me, because I can always use the prayer. Paul is telling us that we need to be strong in the Lord. Strong how? In the Lord. Need to be strong, not in ourself. God's not telling you to be strong in yourself. He's not saying you be strong in your wisdom. He's not saying you be strong in your talent, you be strong in your goodness. No, he's saying you need to be strong, how? In the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. See, the reality is when you understand the nature of the battle that we're fighting, when we understand that if the chains are going to fall like we've been singing, that it's not going to fall just because you sang a song. It's not going to fall just because you made up in your mind, I think I'm going to become a better person. The chains are going to fall because of the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Almighty God stepping into the room, stepping into your situation and saying, step aside and let me show you how it's done. Let me help you with this. I read the story of a father who was watching his son, and his son was struggling to move a rock. And he's pushing and pulling and trying with all of his might and just can't seem to get the rock moved. And finally, the father steps into the situation, and he says to him, he says, son, are you using all your strength? And the boy, out of exasperation, is like, yeah, Dad, I'm using all of my strength. And he says, no, you're not. And the boy looks at him kind of funny, and he says, you haven't asked me for help. You haven't asked me for help. That brings me to the second point that I want to make in the R, and that is relationship. And that is, when we're praying, we're not just praying to some deity out there somewhere that we don't really know who he is. We're not just praying to the creator of the universe. We're not just praying to the God of heaven's armies. Jesus lets us know who it is that we're praying to when we pray. When he was asked, teach us to pray, and he said, here's how you pray. And he starts with these two words. Say them with me. Our Father. Our Father. It's a relationship. It's a relationship that we can have with the Heavenly Father. When we pray, we are tapping into that relationship. We are struggling. Here we are, like that boy in the illustration, pushing on the rock, pushing on the rock, pushing on the rock, trying to use our strength, trying to use our strength. And our strength is not enough. It's not getting the job done. And so what do? We call on the God that we are in a relationship with, the Father that we're in a relationship with. We say, God, I need your help. I need your power to come to bear in my situation. And the Heavenly Father says, I'm so glad you asked, because I want to spend some time with you. I want us to grow this relationship. I want to help you. Yeah, I want to help you move that rock. I want to help you with those chains in your life. I want to help you with that situation that's coming against you, and you can't do it on your own strength. But here's what I want us to do. I just want us to build some relationship with one another. See, prayer is not just making a list and then bringing it to God. There's nothing wrong with having a prayer list. Please don't get me wrong. But if that's all you've got is a prayer list, and you're like, pray for Sammy, pray for Bob, pray for this situation, that situation. Okay, God, I'm done. Thank you. Checking out over and over, and out you go. If that's all you've got, God said, no. You don't understand prayer, because I want to have some relationship with you. I want to spend some time with you. I want to get to know you. I want you to get to know me. If you're in love with somebody, you just can't wait to get to where they are. You can't wait to get off work. You can't wait for the date to begin. You can't wait for whatever. I just want to be in you. I just want to be near you. I want to be around you. I love you. I want to be with you. It helps me to grow in my relationship. And I want to tell you that's the way our Father is, our Heavenly Father. He just wants to, be with us. He wants to get to know us. Any granddaddies in the room? Do you love it when your grandkids come crawling up into your lap? And there's just something special. Any grandmas in the room? Don't you just love it when those grandkids just crawl up and say, hey, Grandma? And we know what they're after. They're after something. Lately, this is what my kids are after. They just want my phone. I tell them, you don't love me, you just want my phone. So they can do whatever they do on phones. But you know what? it really doesn't matter because they're in my lap. They got their arm around me, and I get to hug on them a little bit. And even if they're distracted by other stuff, to have that time to just pour in a little bit and just let them know I'm here and I love you and I care about you. I want to tell you that's the way our Heavenly Father is about us. You are so special to Him. He loves you so much. And you're not just His grandkid, you're His kid. You're not some redheaded stepchild. You are His favorite. Why don't you just look to somebody and just tell them right now, I'm God's favorite. Yeah, just tell them, I'm His favorite. Yeah, I'm His favorite. Yeah, He does. I mean, He loves you. You're His favorite. And He really wants to spend some time with you. He wants to get to know you. He wants to build the relationship with you. And the way that you build that relationship with the Father is through prayer. It's how we entered into the relationship with God, and it's how we maintain the relationship with God. We entered the relationship by praying, God, save me. We maintain that relationship by praying, by getting into His presence. And yeah, sometimes we're asking Him to do things for us. Sometimes it's Jesus, take the wheel. Sometimes it's God, I just want to spend time with you. I just want to get to know you. I just want to love on you and thank you for all of the wonderful things that you've done for me. You know, God's not a vending machine. I want you to get that. God is not a vending machine. Prayer is not a vending machine. It's not push the button and get what I want and push the button and get what I want. It's not put in the money and push the button and get what I want. I put in my time. I put in my effort. God, I was good. I went to church. God, I was good. I paid my tithes. God, I was good. I helped that little old lady across the street. Whatever it is, God, I was good and I did that. I'm putting in the money. And now, God, I want my Snickers bar. No, God's not a vending machine. He is your Father. He's your Father. He loves you. He wants to spend time with you. And so I want to encourage you in that. That prayer is about the power, yeah. But it's about the relationship. And then thirdly, prayer is about answers. It's about getting answers to the questions and the problems and the troubles and the situations of life. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talks about that when He says that we are to knock and keep on knocking. We're to ask and keep on asking. We're to seek and keep on seeking. And he says this, he said, because whoever knocks, the door gets open. Whoever seeks, finds. Whoever asks, they get what they're asking for. And so he's telling us that, and he gives us this story about prayer and knocking. He says this. It's like a man who had a visitor that came late at night and he wasn't expecting the visitor and he didn't have enough, you know, Doritos or whatever he needed, you know, to help out his neighbor. So he goes to his neighbor's house and he's knocking on the door in the middle of the night and he says, hey, I need you to help me out. Somebody came over. I wasn't prepared. I don't have enough food. I don't have any bread. Can you just give me some bread? Can you? And the guy's in bed. He's like, leave me alone. I'm already asleep. But the guy keeps knocking, and he keeps knocking. He said, come on, I need some help. The store is closed. You're my closest neighbor. I need some help. And he says that the guy will get out of bed and go help his neighbor, not because he really cares and loves his neighbor, but just because he wants to get him off his back so he can go back to sleep. And he said, prayer will accomplish the same thing. If you'll knock and keep on knocking, if you'll pray and keep on praying, if you'll ask and keep on asking, if you'll seek and keep on seeking. You know, some people say, well, if you pray more than one time, that shows a lack of faith. No, that shows a lot of faith. It shows faith in God, that God is real, faith in His Word, that His Word works, faith in what Jesus said that we ought to do, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to keep on knocking, keep on praying, keep on asking, because I know that when I do that, the answers are going to come. James puts it this way in James chapter 1. He says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. The key is we just got to ask. We got to pray. And when we do, it's going to release the power of heaven and give us the answers that we need. And then the why in prayer is you. You can pray. You need to pray. Your prayers are effective. Now, there's nothing wrong with asking somebody else to pray. The Bible talks about two or three agreeing as touching anything and it's done of the Father. Yeah, there's a place for that. But Jesus also said, hey, when you pray, go to your closet. Go to that private place. Just you and God, just get along. There's something that happens in that place as well that we need to pray. You need to pray. There's nothing wrong with saying, hey, I need somebody else to pray with me. And a lot of times we've got people in our lives that we ask to pray. Anybody got a praying grandma? Anybody becoming a praying grandma? Hey, listen, don't just have a praying grandma, be a praying grandma. Don't just have a praying mama, be a praying mama, a praying daddy, a praying granddaddy. And so we need to understand that God hears you when you pray. Yeah, people ask me, Pastor, would you pray for this? Sure, I'll pray with you. Yeah, I'll pray for you. But don't you expect my prayers alone are going to get it done and go, well, I don't need to pray because the pastor's praying. It's okay to put it on the prayer chain, put it out there for the intercessors to agree with you in prayer, but that doesn't mean that takes you off the hook. No, you pray. God hears you. I want you to hear that today. God hears you when you pray. He hears you, and he's going to move. Your prayer is going to move the hand of God. Your prayer is going to impact the situation. Your prayer is going to make the difference. We've all heard the saying, along, been around forever, prayer changes things. I like the updated version of that that says that prayer changes people and people change things. See, when we spend time in the presence of the Lord, then God begins to shape us and change us. Listen, I want you to understand, some of the reason why we don't get our prayers answered as quickly as we want them prayed is because God's not as interested in answering your prayer as he is in changing you, in working on you, in developing you. He's going to answer the prayer. He's going to get it one way or another, sooner or later. How many of you know that God always answers prayer? But he doesn't always do it the way we wanted him to, does he? Sometimes the answer to God to our prayer is God says yes. Sometimes God's answer is no. And sometimes God's answer is not yet. Not yet. Just be patient. I was between services. Somebody was sharing with me a story that they'd heard, a joke about a guy that watched the pastor. He was up in the front of the church. He was pacing back and forth, and he was praying and pacing back and forth and just praying and pacing back and forth. And the guy came up to him and said, "Say, Pastor, what's wrong?" And he says, "I'm in a hurry and God's not." You ever been in a hurry and God's not? But that doesn't mean that God's not working on your behalf. See, he's working all things, even the delays. He's working all things together for your good because he loves you and he wants you to pray. He wants to spend time with you. In 1 Chronicles chapter, or 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, we're familiar with this, and I'm closing. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. God's just waiting for us to pray. He's waiting for my people to pray so that he can heal their land. And prayer happens in all kinds of ways. Like I said, it's by yourself. It's home alone. You got to have that time. Sometimes prayer is getting together with a prayer partner. I know some of you have prayer partners that you pray with maybe on a daily basis, or maybe it's a couple times a week or once a week, and you either get together in person or maybe you just call each other on the phone and say, hey, let's pray, and we pray together. But then there's a place for the corporate prayer as well, where the body of Christ comes together, and we recognize what Jesus said about the house of God, and he says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. I was at a conference a couple of weeks ago, a bunch of pastors. The guy that's speaking gets up and he he starts talking to us about the Lord's Prayer. And we're just kind of like, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I'm just kind of sitting there going, gee, I drove all the way from Tulsa, Oklahoma to just outside of Nashville, Tennessee, to hear a guy telling me about the Lord's Prayer. I've heard about the Lord's Prayer. You ever had the Holy Spirit slap you upside the face and say, shut up and listen? I don't think I was the only guy in the room that the Holy Spirit was slapping, though. I think there were some more pastors in the room that were like, this is a little simple. This is a, you know, Lord's Prayer. And this is how he brought it home to us. He said, if Jesus had said, my house should be called a house of preaching, that would be pretty easy to prove in your church. If he'd said, my house should be called a house of teaching, you could prove that pretty easy in your church. There's a lot of that going on. If he said, my house shall be called a house of worship, I mean, every one of you, you got that down. If he'd said, my house shall be called a house of fellowship and community, yeah, we got lots of that in our church. He says, but is there enough evidence to convict you on being a house of prayer? The only way this house is going to be a house of prayer is if you pray. If we pray individually and together. And I just want to encourage that we know it. And see, we're talking about why pray. Come on, Pastor, do we really need to ask that question? It was already answered because prayer changes things, because God, prayer works. I mean, all those easy things. Why pray?